Lord, again, your word is faithful. It's true. I pray that it would go forth, Lord, and it would continue the work that you have started in the lives of these ladies and in my own heart, Lord God, that you would be the one who our eyes are drawn to, that your word speaks of you, and we want to honor you, and we want your word to go forth, and we want you to continue, Lord. Just make this like this last message like the bow that ties the package together and just sets it apart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, there's three areas, and the areas that the Lord just spoke to me about as far as surrendering our life, the first area is personal sin. The second area is sin that we have endured because of others, inflicted kind of like consequences of other people's sins. And then the third area are the trials and tribulations that God allows. And so whenever something happens to you, those are the three areas that you can point to. Am I suffering consequences because of my own sin? Am I suffering consequences because sin that was inflicted on me from somebody else? Or is it something that God is bringing me through, a trial and a tribulation? So why don't we go ahead and take a look at a couple of different scriptures. And the first one we want to look at is James 1. It's a passage. We're going to read 13 to 27. James chapter 1 in the New Testament. And this is talking about personal temptation. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all that he created. It says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious, yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So how do we keep oneself not being polluted by the world? Okay? Your own personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't keep getting saved again and saved again and saved again. You get saved once. That's the original time that you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of sin. Now, if you backslide, what you're doing is you're rededicating your life. So most of the pastors, like Pastor Brian does at our church, he'll say, if there's anyone here at the end of a service, is there anyone here? The Lord's been speaking to you. You need to come to the Lord. You need salvation. Is there anyone who needs to rededicate their lives, which means you did it at one time, you've fallen away, you've backslidden for whatever reason, and he's calling you back. So that you're not getting saved again, but you're just rededicating your life to the Lord. And then there's a daily response that we should have for sin. Because it's kind of like when you're jogging or you're riding a bike and you go through a puddle and the wheel splashes up dirty water. And it kind of gets on the back. I don't know if you guys have ever done that, but, you know, it gets on the back of your pants or on the back of your jacket. Or, you know, you think, where did that come from? But it sprayed up and it got you dirty. When we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins, it's like taking a shower. And that's one thing I love about, like, if you guys just listen real quietly, listen. Can you hear that? Can you hear that water? I mean, you can visually go look and see that. It's like as if every day you stand underneath that and the blood of Jesus Christ covers over you and washes you clean, makes you white as snow, washes the sin away. It's his blood that does that. But you have to ask him, Lord, forgive me for my sins on a daily basis. So sin is something that we deal with on a daily basis. The sin of others. Now, that's something that a lot of women can relate to, as far as being an innocent bystander. When the sin is inflicted, someone else's sin is inflicted upon you. It's called sin by association, you know. And the consequences, if someone has sinned, their consequences splash up onto your life and affect you. Affect you physically, affect you mentally. And that's where the battle for the mind comes in. And you basically, I put in here, do you believe God's word is true? Do you believe he's in control? Can the Lord use any situation or circumstance for his glory? You have to believe that. So even if you're innocent in what's happened, and someone has brought that sin onto your life, and you're just the innocent bystander, God can still bring beauty from ashes, because that's his way. That's what he wants to do. When you look in the Old Testament, it talks about all of, in the tabernacle, it had all these beautiful hangings because it was a portable tabernacle, and they would put these up, but it was beautiful threads, red, blue, and then it was really fine linen. And people, I mean, you know, they had to actually make the fabric, not like us nowadays. But that's what Jesus does. He takes those red, purple, and blue threads and just tapestry. He's making this beautiful, beautiful work of art. And, you know, to us, sometimes it hurts, you know, when you're, and God's weaving something through your life. But it's going to be beautiful. We don't know what it's going to look like. It says in Revelation that he's going to give everybody a new name that only he knows. Do you ever think about that? What's my name going to be like? Wow. God's got a plan. What he started, he'll finish. He doesn't do things halfway. He's not like us. We start a project. Oh, I'm going to make this thing. I'm going to sew this thing. And you get halfway through and there it sits. You haven't looked at it for a couple of months or a couple of years or a decade has gone by. Well, I'm still going to get to that. When I retire, I'm going to get to that quilt. I'm going to finish that quilt. You know, there's just that we just by nature kind of, you know, can't finish projects. But we're a project and the Lord is not going to forget about us. And what he started, he will complete. And, you know, do you want it to be a nice, easy, beautiful journey? I shouldn't say easy, but, you know, one that you can withstand. With Jesus Christ, with him by your side and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can get through whatever is thrown our way. The candies were good? Yeah. I mean, was it adorable? Was it like the most precious thing you had ever seen? That's how I felt about it. And one of the sisters at church is just so wonderfully gifted in that way. And she had given me something at Thanksgiving. And it was just like the cutest thing I'd ever gotten. This is my kind of cute, you know. And it was so cute, I couldn't even eat it. It was just like a beautiful gift. And so I had to give it to somebody else because I wanted them to enjoy it. And it's like, but don't eat it. After you enjoy it, give it to someone else. It's going to be passed along for years. Because it's just, and that's what these are like. These are like little precious treasures. But inside are pearls. And everybody's going to get a pearl. And so when you come up, I'm going to just leave them on this table. When you come up for communion, I want you to just take a pearl with you as well. And what I want you to think about when you think about this pearl is when you think of the ocean, who creates the pearl in the ocean? The oyster, right? And how does this little beautiful, expensive, some pearls are very, very, very expensive. And if you go into Revelation, it says the gates are made of these huge pearls. I mean, pearls are huge in the Bible. Now, these aren't real. But we'll pretend like they are. But you know what is so neat? I was thinking about pearls, and someone actually, she's not even on retreat, she gave me these little precious pearl earrings. And she didn't even know. I didn't tell her. I'll tell her after the retreat. But, you know, the Lord was ministering to me about pearls and about the irritants in our life, like that little grain of sand that begins the pearl. Those irritants are actually jewels that we can give back to the Lord. Jewels that he's creating, these beautiful pearls in our own life. Now think about the irritants that are in your life. Maybe there's a lot of them, right? But I mean, it may be, a wayward child is just an irritant to you, or a mother-in-law or a daughter-in-law, or your boss, or whatever situation is in it. It's just this little grain of sand. And you know what? If you allow the Lord to take this irritant, to take this situation, he doesn't always remove it. Who in the Bible had a thorn in the flesh that he wanted removed? Paul. And how many times did he ask? Three times. And what did the Lord finally say? My grace is sufficient for you. You need this. You need this in your life. Sometimes we don't want to believe that. We don't want to receive that. But these irritants can be good for us. And they're hard. Some of you have major health issues. That's an irritant. That is hard to live with. Some of you have very unlovely spouses. They're hard to live with. But you know what? There's a pearl that's being created. If you think about that, if you think about the things in your life, God can use anything for his glory. Let's go ahead and look at Genesis 32 together. Starting at verse 24, Genesis 32:24. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the man asked, "What's your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Wrestling with God, sometimes there are those situations where you just have to crucify the why. Why is this happening? Why did that happen? The why question has to be laid at the altar, because I don't necessarily think you're going to always get the answer. There are some things that we will never, ever be able to figure out until we go to be with the Lord. And then probably at that time it won't even matter, because we'll be in such splendor and glory as we're worshiping the Lord. But there are some whys that we just have to lay at the altar. And you're just going to beat yourself up for the rest of your life. Why? Because God allowed it. Why? Because he's bigger than I am, and he knows everything. And for whatever reason, he allowed this to happen to me. Do I have to like it? No. Can I surrender to it? Yeah. I can surrender that. The Lord Jesus Christ, I can lay it at the altar. I can surrender it to him. Can work beauty out of these ashes. And wrestling with God is an okay thing. The other person that we want to look at, and I know you guys probably know exactly who I'm turning to, but we're going to turn to the book of Job. God allows the testing of our faith. We looked at that last night. God gives us these little tests. And they're not because we're sinners. It's not because he doesn't love us. It's because he's testing us. You know, just real quick, go back to Genesis. You know, think about when Eve was tested. She had to pass a test. That was a little test, but she didn't pass her test. And then it was the blame game. After she sinned and ate the fruit, gave it to her husband, he ate the fruit. Then when they had that conversation with the Lord, the man blamed the woman, the woman blamed the serpent. You know, he said, she said, that whole little game of blaming. Bottom line, that was their sin. But in this situation, Job was a sinless man. Not sinless, but righteous. Let's go ahead and read, start at verse 6. Chapter 1, I'm sorry, beginning in the book. The first five verses kind of give you a little history, and you guys could read that, but just talks about who he was. It says, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. What? You say to yourself, what? Satan? In the presence of the Lord? The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Now here's that little crafty enemy again. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hand so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land, but you stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So here's a situation where we see the enemy actually getting permission to strike Job. Did Job do anything wrong? No. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where it's almost like that hedge of protection that the Lord encamps around us. He lifts it up for a second, and then he drops it back down. But in that time when it's getting lifted up and before it drops back down, whoo, all havoc can break loose. And we just don't know. We can't figure out why. I'm okay with the Lord. My family's okay. We're serving the Lord. We're walking with the Lord. We love the Lord. Why is this happening? I don't get it. And that's the crucifying the why. The thing that's awesome about this book, and you really should read it, but he had some not so good friends. And sometimes when we go through things, we have to be careful about our friendships because people will say, well, you know, you serve the Lord. Why is this happening to you? You know? You got to be careful who you associate with. But we know the truth of the word that Job was a blameless, righteous man. And that after all this happened, God restored to him way beyond what he had in the very beginning. So there's those situations in our life that God allows. He tests us to see if we're really his children. Now, some of us that knew, had a life before Christ, the BC life before Christ, you know how rotten and awful you were. But there are some people that have grown up in church. And those are our precious daughters who have walked with the Lord. And, you know, they've accepted the Lord as young. And here they come. And they really don't have a testimony yet. But you know what? By the end of your life, everybody has a testimony. And it's not because you're a sinful person. But it can be a situation just like this, just like Job, that something is inflicted upon you that you have no control over. And then God wants to see, okay, now the rubber has met the road. You've had this charmed life, but what about this? What about when a child is ill? What about when your house burns down? What about when a million other things? I mean, think of all the devastation just in the United States, you know, just this past year. Floodings, fires. I mean, it's crazy. So, I mean, and that's not because people are doing anything wrong. They're just that's what happened to them. And how do you deal with that? And you need to look at Job's example. He did not curse the Lord. His wife told him to just, you know, kill yourself, dude. You are sad. And, you know, but he didn't. You know, he didn't. His lips didn't sin against the Lord. So you have to be very careful. You have your own sin to deal with, your personal sin. You have your sin that splashes up on you from other people. Their sin affects you, especially for us girls. There are so many of us that have been through so many things that have to do with relationships in our lives, relationships that we didn't even want and someone forced on us. You know, those are the things you got to give to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to use it. What's beautiful about the body of Christ is when you realize that God used, it can use all these things in your life, the comfort that you're comforted with from the scripture, you're able to share with someone else that has gone through that. So you don't go through it just for yourself. You go through it, but then God uses it once it's been a sanctified experience, once you've allowed the Lord to come in and heal and cleanse. It's a wound. It's festering. It's pussy. It's disgusting and gross. And, you know, gangrene can set in. You don't want that to happen. It doesn't have to get to the gangrene stage where something has to be cut off. It can just be a little teeny tiny cut. But, you know, it's the thought life. It's what you start thinking and what you start building around, and it starts getting affected. You got to, wherever you're at in that position, in that situation, let the Lord clean it out. That's what he's there for. That's why he is called the great physician. One of his names is Mighty Counselor. He is the best counselor. This is the best counsel you can ever get, the Word of God. Not that I'm not against counseling, because, you know, God can use that as well, but we've got to get our primary counsel from the Word of God. That's what will lead us and guide us and direct us and keep us on the right path. So we've got that sin inflicted on us. And then we have the sin that the Lord allows, the trials. It's not sin, excuse me. It's the trials and tribulations that are allowed. And what are we going to do with those? So we have all these choices. That's what a surrendered life is. It's all about every single choice that we have. Are we going to surrender that? Are we going to surrender that? Are we going to surrender that? And the Lord's just constantly working on us. We're a work of art. You guys are a work of art. You truly are. Just to be up here on my end and to see how beautiful you are and know the things that you've been through and the victories that you've had. And, you know, it's just the older I get, actually getting old really isn't that bad. You know, you're actually a better, I think I'm a much more, I know it's the Lord, but it's through age and through maturity in Christ. You know, I'm a lot better of a person, you know, at almost 50 versus when I was almost 40. Okay. Even with my kids, you know, I have a daughter that's 21, and then I have a little guy that's 6. I'm a much better parent with a 6-year-old. It's sad. And I had to ask her to forgive me because, you know, the first child, they kind of take the beating, don't they? They kind of take the, you know, you're just kind of learning and you kind of do a lot of things wrong. And then, you know, your sin is inflicted on them and they got to do this thing in the middle, you know. But, you know, as you get older, you just, you know, things don't bother you as much, even with retreat. This retreat was so great because there was no stress. You know, there was no tension. It's just like, do you guys feel that way? I better ask Antoinette, do you feel that way? For me, it was like, okay, I want this. You know, and there were certain things, you know, I'm a real detailed person. You know, I just like things a certain way. And if you know me, you know that about me. You know, like the boxes, I really wanted the boxes on the dinner table. When you came in, I wanted the boxes on the dinner table. Okay, now 10 years ago, I would have just had to sit somebody down and say, I told you that I did tell you. I know that it's in my notes. Let me show you, you know. But you know what? It's like, you know what? That's what. So what? What does it matter? Does it matter if it's on the table or on your bed? You know, you didn't know that I was having this issue. I'm sharing. I'm being honest, you know. You didn't know I was having this silly issue about what? Oh, I did want the books on the table. Yeah, that was good. I wanted the boxes the next night. Yeah. But you know what? It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. If we didn't have one beautiful thing, if you guys just got here with a yellow pad and a pencil like we have at church, would God still speak to us? Yes. No. Yeah, of course he would. I meant yes. I just meant... What I meant was... What I meant was, you know, it doesn't matter to the Lord what we write our notes on, you know. But just as women, we like the pampering. We like the theme. We like that we get behind that. We buy clothes to go with it. We think about things that we can do to, you know, we love that. And it's just, that's who we are. That's how God made us. So we just, you know, you just, as you get older, and am I not alone? You guys have to be thinking with me that it's the same way. The older we get, you know, you just let things go. Even in your marriage, you know, some things that you are so uptight about. You guys ever been uptight in your marriages about certain things? You know, and I used to be very up, you know, and there's certain things that you want. And that's one thing I did put that in my notes, and I'm going to have to read this to you guys. Let's go to I'll just read it to you. 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says that he dies daily. Okay? There's things that the Lord asks us to die to daily. And as women, there's things that we want, just as women. You know, it's hard, the culture that we live in, you know, the TV, the shopping, there's things that we want. And there's certain things that I have wanted over the years, and they're silly things now that I look back on it, but it was things that the Lord was testing my heart to see would I be okay with what he wanted for me versus what I wanted. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's certain things that you think you have to have. But then like Jesus, when you look at him, he said, you know, if this cup can pass from me, so be it. But if not, your will be done. We have to get to that place where any situation that we're in, we say, but you know what, Lord, this is what I think I want. I'm at the point where I think I want this. I don't even know if I want it. I just say, Lord, I think I want it. I don't even really know because you know me better. You know me better than I know myself, and I am willing to step back and you just work it out the way you want. And there's this one situation in my life, and I'm not going to share the details, but I am just like, I'm having that battle. And I think about it, the vain imaginations want to come, and I have to bring every thought captive. Lord, you do it for me the way you want it to, because I know what I want. I know what I think I want, But you know what? I want what the Lord wants. I really, honestly, the Lord knows my heart. I want what He wants more. And you get to that place in your life. You want what He wants more than what you want. And that's when you know you've come to that maturing place. And it doesn't happen in all areas. It just happens in certain areas at a time. But I will share one little area. I know I've shared it with some of you guys before, but it is kind of funny. When I was young, you know, we've been in the ministry since I was a baby. And a long time. I don't really know why people came to our church, because we didn't know anything. I mean, we knew the Bible, but, you know, we just had no experience. But the Lord put us there for the reason that he had. And so we didn't really have any kind of furniture. I had bought furniture from a garage sale. You know, that was like our couch. And I had never had a new couch. And people would be lovingly kind and give me couches, you know. And but they never really matched, and they weren't really mine. And sometimes they smelt weird, and, you know, they were funky. But, you know, it's all you have, and so you use it, right? You just take whatever. But I just wanted a new couch, and I really wanted a leather couch. And I prayed, Lord, you know, I just really want a leather couch. And, you know, of course, so then I was on the hunt for the couch, you know, going to every store trying to find, you know, the best price for the best couch. And, okay, I found one at Robinson's May. That's how, it wasn't even called that then. I think it was just Robinson's before they combined. That's how long ago it was, for those of you that are shoppers. And so, anyways, I found this couch in the bargain basement. If you guys remember that bargain basement they used to have, found this couch. Oh, it was just a couple $100. Great, you know, told my husband. And, you know, we didn't have the money, but he was so precious. He went and he opened a little Robinson's May card, and he bought this couch, unbeknownst to me. And for Christmas, and you know, we didn't have anything to give anybody, but on Christmas morning, he put me on this hunt, and I had to, like a treasure hunt, get in the car and go to all these places. And then it ended up at the church that we were renting at the time. The couch was like in the parking lot, you know. It was just like, and I don't know how he got it back home. But anyways, it was fun. It was cute. You know, it was something that you do when you're newlywed type. And so we brought the couch home, and I got to sit in the couch, and it was beautiful. Oh, my couch, my couch, my couch. And then all of a sudden, my couch started to flake. And it was like dandruff. It was on my clothes, and it was on, and what would happen that they'd spray the leather with some kind of spray, and it actually was defective, and that's probably why it was in the bargain basement. And it started flaking, and I was like, oh, my couch. And my husband said, well, that's okay, honey. He said, we'll just, you know, get another one. We'll exchange it. So, okay, yeah, that would be great. So the day that they decided to exchange it, they brought a new couch, but for some reason on the paperwork, they didn't have to take the old couch. So all of a sudden, then I had two leather couches. Oh, okay. And so, well, you know, I don't really have the room for it, but we'll make it. Okay, two leather couches. And then that leather couch within 10 days started to flake. And so then I had two defective couches. And then on this little teeny tiny credit card that didn't have anything on it, we didn't even have hardly any credit back then, it had two couches on there, and they hadn't taken the price off the one. So all of a sudden we had two couches that we were having to pay for instead of just the one. And, you know, my husband didn't want to not pay them, because, you know, you're just starting your credit and you want to keep it good and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so here I have credit card with two couches that we're paying on, and they're both defective, and no one wants to come and get them. And I'm calling, can't you come and get the couches? And finally, when they were gone, I said, I will never want for a couch again. I don't ever care if I, you know. But then a few years later go by, you know, kind of like the Israelites, you know, they got out of Egypt, but then they started missing the leeks and the onions and all those, you know, oh, our food was so good back then, and they forgot that they had been in bondage, you know. And so there's those situations in your life that, you know, the Lord gave it to me, and then He gave it to me doubly, and it was like rotten. So then I said, you know what, Lord, I don't care if I ever get another couch again. And to tell you the truth, this day, if you were to come to my house, I actually have two really nice leather couches, but they were given to me. And when the person gave them to me, she actually gave me the receipt that she had bought. She goes, in case they are defective in any way, you can take them back. And I mean, it was outrageous what she paid for them. And the Lord just gave them to me. See, His gifts are always better. They are always the best. But, you know, sometimes you have to wait. You have to wait, and you don't want to do things in your flesh. And, you know, that story of Jacob, wrestling. I'm going to wrestle with the Lord until I get that answer. Sometimes, yeah, you prevail. But other times, you know what? The Lord says, wait and crucify the why. That kind of rhymes, huh? Crucify the why. You know, the why of, you know, those things that you lay at the altar. You just have to let them go. Let the Lord pick out the things that He wants for you to have. Isn't that hard to do as ladies? I want this thing. I deserve this thing. I work hard for this thing. Whatever that thing is. Okay. Let's go to Psalm 22. We'll close with this scripture. Psalm 22, verse 9. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. The Lord knew us before we were even born. He had a plan. He had a purpose. He wanted us to live a surrendered life. And he knew everything that we've experienced and everything that we will experience. And he died for all of it on the cross. There's a little TV show. Maybe you guys remember it. A Father's Knows Best. Your heavenly Father knows best. Now, you either believe that or you don't. If you don't believe it, you're going to fight the rest of your life. You're going to be wrestling with God like Jacob did for the rest of your life, trying to get that answer. Why? 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 And just wrestling. And you know what? Wrestling takes up a lot of time. It takes up a lot of energy. It takes up a lot of mental strength. It causes a lot of stress. That wrestling. Why, God? Why didn't this work? And it's pressure. And it actually ages you. You got to just know that Father knows best. Your heavenly Father knows best. He knows what's best for you. He's allowed what he's allowed. And what's going to happen is in his control. And if you believe it, you'll have a much, much sweeter life. When your desire to please Jesus becomes greater than your desire for what you want, for what you think you want, for what you think will bring happiness, when the desire for Jesus is greater than that, you will have a surrendered life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do, again, want to surrender those things, Lord, things that we've caused ourselves, things that have been inflicted upon us, things that you have allowed, Lord God, things that we're wrestling with, Jesus. We surrender those things, Lord, and we want to crucify the why question because you are greater. We cannot figure you out. Your thoughts are above our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways, Lord. Your love is great. It's deep. It's wide, and we believe it. We believe that you have a plan for us. We believe, Lord God, before the foundations of the earth, you knew exactly that we were going to be here today, that we were going to hear this word, that you were going to do a work, a continued work. So when we leave this beautiful oasis, Lord God, you will be with us to help us to endure, to point out those areas, Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit that need to be continually surrendered to you. And Lord, that we would be women that leave surrendered lives, that the little irritants, Lord God, that are in our lives, that you would create beautiful pearls, pearls that at some point in time, Lord God, when we come to be with you, that we could offer up to you, Lord God. Lord, you've prepared good works for us to walk in, Lord. You've prepared them in advance. May we walk in those good works. May we not be so absorbed with the wrestling with you, Lord God, that we're not walking in those things that you've prepared in advance for us to do. So may we just surrender to you, Lord Jesus, and may you have your way and will in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.